This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا O you who have believed استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة Seek help through patience and prayer إن الله مع الصابرين Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. Ya ayyuha. Ya ayyuha is harf nida and it is used to call out to someone. It is used to alert the listener. The ayah begins with Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O you who have believed. Meaning listen to this carefully. Become alert. Listen to this attentively. And when an address is made like this, with Ya Ayyuha, or with Harf Nida, it is to show the importance of what is going to be stated. That, O believers, this is something very important. So listen carefully to this. Because if a person does not listen carefully to something in the first place, then how is he meant to act upon it? So Ya Ayyuha, everyone is being made alert. And who is being addressed? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Those who have believed. So the believers are being addressed. People have many qualities. People have qualities of sabr, of patience, of gratitude. Different, very good qualities. But over here, specifically, the quality of iman is mentioned. It hasn't been said, O you those people who fast. Oh, those people who pray. Oh, those people who perform hajj. Oh, those people who are patient. No. Which quality is mentioned? Iman, belief. Because belief, iman, is the best quality that a person could ever have. It is the best quality. Why? Because the person who has this quality, the person who has iman, has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who has iman will only be able to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to do so. Only when a person has iman, then he can perform acts of righteousness. And if he does not have iman, he will not perform salah. He will not give zakah. He will not perform hajj. He will not be patient. Iman is the key. It is the most important quality. So over here, Allah says, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Meaning, if you're truly believers, then you must do this. Listen to this attentively. Listen to this carefully, so that you can follow this command. What is the command that the believers are being given? اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Seek help. Seek whose help? Seek the help of Allah. But how should you seek Allah's help? بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ By doing sabr and by praying salah. إِسْتَعِينُ is from the root letters عَيْن وَاوْ نُون. We have read earlier in Surah Al-Fatiha إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ And the word عَوْن is used for help and it is a general word that is used for help. Meaning it includes every possible type of help. Whether it is help against an enemy, or it is help in fulfilling a commitment, in performing a particular task, it is general help. And isti'ana is to seek help. So seek Allah's help. How should you seek the help of Allah? Bis-sabri wa-salah. As-sabr. Sabr is from Sad Ba Ra. And sabr literally means to be patient. What does it mean? To be patient. Sabr is Habsun Nafs. It means to control oneself, to hold oneself back, to not let oneself fall, to not let oneself despair, to not let oneself say anything that is negative. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disapproves of. Sabr is habsun nafs, just control oneself. not let oneself give up or say anything bad, say something rude. That is what sabr is. When something negative happens, when something difficult happens, what does a person do? He says, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing, or I'm not going to do that which Allah disapproves of. And because of this, sabr has been divided into three different types. The first type of sabr is sabr at the time of difficulty, which is when a person holds himself back, stops himself from being negative. And negativity includes saying something negative or doing something negative. For example, somebody is shouting at you and you want to shout back. What is sabr? What is sabr? To keep quiet. Similarly, you hear of a big loss that you've suffered from. For example, may Allah protect all of us, but if, for example, in their house somebody committed theft, all of a sudden what happens to people? They're like, no way, how's that possible? And they start screaming and yelling. Sabr is what? To keep calm, to hold oneself together. Don't say anything that is negative. This is the first type of sabr. The second type of sabr is to hold oneself firm, to hold oneself on the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person remains steadfast. He doesn't give up on obeying Allah, on following the commands of Allah. And thirdly, the third type of sabr is when a person holds himself back from doing that which is wrong, from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a person is tempted. There are so many temptations. But what is sabr? That a person says, no, I'm not going to do this. Allah doesn't like it. So istareenu bis-sabr. Seek help how? By doing sabr. And seek help how? Was-salat. By performing salat. In this dunya, all of us are here for a test. And test means difficult situation. A trial. So this life is full of difficulties. It is full of trials. Sometimes we face these difficulties and trials from other people. Sometimes from the situations that occur in life, through different situations, different incidents. But life has problems. Life is full of difficulties. And everybody's difficulties are different from others. And along with this, human beings are weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 28, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. And mankind, the human being, he was created weak. What does it mean? That the human being, the person, he cannot deal with the problems by himself. He cannot deal with the problems, with the tests that he faces by himself. He needs the support of something else in order to face the problems that he experiences in life. He needs the support. He needs that help. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a solution over here. What is that solution? That when you suffer any difficulty, when you suffer any problem in life, instead of complaining, instead of harming yourself, what should you do? Two things. Do sabr and pray salah. Why? Because when you do sabr, Allah will help you be patient. When you perform salah, when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His help to you. And dealing with the problem is going to be easier. We learn in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say every day, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Only You we worship, and only You we ask for help. So over here, all of us are being told, seek help with regards to all of your matters, whether it is your deen, whether it is your dunya, whether it is your family, whether it is your business, whether it is your school, whether it is some people you don't like. What should you do? Do sabr have patience, and also pray salah. Now notice over here that sabr comes before salah, isn't it? Sabr comes before salah. Why? Because for salah we need sabr. A person cannot perform salah without sabr. Also, sabr has been mentioned before salah because sabr is much more difficult, isn't it? Sabr is much more difficult. It is easy to go perform 2 rak'ah salah, 4 rak'ah salah, even 20. But sabr is much more difficult. When somebody is being rude to you, when somebody is mistreating you, when somebody is manipulating you and you want to take revenge, and you don't, you're patient, that's more difficult. Istaeenu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek help through patience and also through prayer. Now remember that human beings are weak, and we cannot deal with the problems ourselves. We need some help. We need some support. And how do we get that help? Or where do we get that help and support from? From sabr and salah. When a person does sabr, it is possible for him to bear the difficulty. When a person performs salah, it is possible for him to deal with that difficulty. Istaeenu bis-sabri was-salah. And why should a person be patient? Why should he seek help through sabr and salah? Because Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. Those people who do sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them. So over here, there is good news for the one who is patient. But notice over here, it has been said, Allah is with those who are patient. Isn't it? Those who do sabr. But at the beginning of the ayah, we were told, seek help through sabr and salah. So over here, it hasn't been said that Allah is with those who perform salah. But what has been said in particular is that Allah is with those who do sabr. Because again, sabr is more difficult than salah. And for salah also, you need sabr. Without sabr, a person cannot perform salah. Now over here Allah says, Allah is with those who are patient. What does it mean by that? Allah is with the patient ones. Remember that this word ma'a, with, ma'iyya, to be with, togetherness, withness, this is of two types. First of all, it is to be with someone in the general sense. And specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being with someone, this is of two types. That first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people in the general sense. What does that mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people with His knowledge, with His sam', with His hearing, with His basar, with His seeing, with His qudra, His ability, with His sultan, with His power, etc. So Allah is with the people wherever they are. It doesn't mean physically, remember that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His arsh. It doesn't mean physically Allah is with the people, no. What it means is that Allah is with them with His knowledge, meaning He knows exactly what they're doing. With His sam', He hears what they say. With His basar, He sees what they do. With His qudra, He has the ability to do whatever He wants to with them. So on and so forth. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, Ayah 4, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And He is with you wherever you are. Allah is with you wherever you are. Meaning He sees you, He watches you. The second type of ma'iyya is specific ma'iyya, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believers in a very special way. And what is that special way? That He is with them with His help and support, with His assistance, with His help. For example, Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, when they were sent to Fir'aun, obviously they were scared. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In Surah Taha, ayah 46, we learn, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Indeed, I am with both of you. I hear and I see. Meaning I am with you. My support, my help is with you. I see what you do, what's going on, and I hear what is said to you as well. So in other words, my help and my support is with you. Similarly, when the Prophet ﷺ was in the cave with Abu Bakr, what did he say? لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't be sad, Allah is with us. So over here when Allah says, إن الله مع الصابرين, what does it mean? That Allah's help, Allah's support, Allah's assistance is with who? With those who are patient. So we are weak. We are not able to deal with the problems ourselves. We need Allah's support. How do we get Allah's support? By doing sabr. Because when a person tries to do sabr, Allah gives him the ability to have sabr. When a person performs salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his dua. So Allah is with those who are patient, meaning His help, His support, His assistance is with those people who are patient. And on the other hand, if a person is not patient at the face of trials, if he doesn't pray to Allah, then he is left to deal with the difficulties by himself. He is left to fend for himself. He doesn't have the help of Allah. He doesn't have the support of Allah. So what lessons do we learn from this ayah? First of all, the ayah shows us about the importance and excellence of iman. The importance of iman. It is of the best attribute. It is the best attribute, the best quality that a person could ever have. Because that is the one that is mentioned here. What else do we learn from this ayah? When there are problems, when there are difficulties in life, then we need the help of Allah. And how do we get that help? By doing sabr and by performing salah. To Allah alone we should state our worries and problems. We are going to go through problems anyway. Difficulties, problems are a part of this life. If you want to make it easy for yourself, try sabr. Try salah. Problems are going to come anyway. Both of them are important. Sabr and salah are both important. It's not just sabr, it's not just salah. Both are important. Sometimes we say, okay, I'll be patient. But we don't really make dua to Allah. Make dua as well. Pray salah in particular. We learn many lessons from this ayah. One of the lessons that we learn is that salah and sabr have a very positive effect on a person. Salah and sabr, both, have a very positive effect on a person. Because they enable a person to deal with the problems, to face the problems. We know about people who, because they don't have the deen, what do? They meditate. They do so many things. Why? In order to gain their focus, in order to relax. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a solution. You face problems, simply go pray to Allah. Simply do sabr. Also we learn from this ayah that a person needs sabr in order to deal with the difficulties in life. He cannot deal with the difficulties in life without sabr. There is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ فِي الصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَا تَكْرَهُ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَأَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Remember that there is much good in bearing with patience that which you dislike. There is much benefit, there is much good in bearing something that you dislike with patience. And know, remember, that victory comes with patience. Victory, success can only come with patience. Because patience is what? That you remain steadfast, you don't give up. And that is only possible when a person is steadfast. And when a person is steadfast, then he is successful. And that with hardship comes a way out. With every hardship, there is a way out. Remember, no hardship is a dead end. Every difficulty in life is eventually going to pass. The only thing that is permanent in life is change. Everything changes. So with difficulty, there is also ease. And that is how the hadith ends, that with difficulty comes ease. Another very important thing that we learn from this ayah is that patience is a sign of a person's iman. Because it's Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istareenu bis-sabri was-salah. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. So if you're really believers, then you must do this. So what does it show? That if a person performs salah and if a person does sabr, that is a sign of his iman. That is a sign that this person is a believer. Because when a believer goes through difficulties and hardships, what is his reaction? What is his reaction? He says, Inna lillah. He doesn't complain. He is patient. He is positive. And his patience shows the level of iman that he has. The more patient a person is, the more iman he has. The less patient a person is, the less iman he has. The person who has iman has yaqeen, has conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely help. Allah will make a way out of difficulty. Or he thinks that there is some wisdom behind this difficulty. There is some wisdom, there is some reason behind this difficulty. And even if he is not able to understand that wisdom, at least he trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, patience shows a person has iman. There is another hadith that is mentioned in Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever tries to be patient, Allah gives him patience. Whoever tries to be patient, Allah gives him patience. And whoever doesn't try to be patient, استَرِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ. You try to be patient, Allah will increase your capacity. Allah will give you more ability to be patient. And the hadith continues that there is no other gift better and more vast than patience. The best gift that a person can be given is what? Sabr. You should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you patient. Allahumma ja'alni sabura. There's a masnoon dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? You should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for patience, because if you don't have patience, how can you deal with the problem? You can't. If we ask for patience, then that means there will be more difficulties in life? Not necessarily. Whatever difficulties are written for you, they're going to come to you anyway. So when a person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability to be patient, he's only making the difficulties easy for himself.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to quickly share an example. When I graduated some years back in Germany, I was applying for jobs and I sent out a couple of applications and I got all the interviews and I always got to the last stage, but in the end, it never worked out. So all my Christian friends, basically, they were like so concerned and are you not doubtful or are you not demotivated and, you know, that was really hard on you. And somehow, alhamdulillah, I was really keen on working in one company and it didn't work out in that company either at that moment. So somehow I had patience because I was like always thinking it didn't work out because it's not right for me, because that job wasn't a good job for me. And then some months later, I got a call from the company that I actually wanted to work in. They invited me for the interview and I got my job there. So I waited maybe a couple of months to get the job and eventually I got it. And it showed really that my Christian friends, they told me to, you know, maybe you should change yourself to please those who are interviewing me in that sense or that sense and change your character, whatever. And I was like, no, I'm not going to change myself just because we're people, basically. So it just shows the way of thinking that I was like, okay, maybe it's not the right thing for me, but they were like doubtful. And
And this is with the believer, because the believer has yaqeen that this is Allah's decision, this was already written for me, and if this didn't happen what I wanted to happen, there's some wisdom behind it. So we learn that when a person faces difficulty, a person could react in two ways. One is that a person is very upset. He's very angry. He gives up hope. He becomes upset with the people. He becomes upset with the decision of Allah. And doing this does not take him anywhere. For example, if a person, you know, if your sibling breaks something of yours, and you shout at them, you scream at them, you yell at them, is your yelling going to bring that thing back together? No. Similarly, if a person dies, and their relatives, they become very impatient. They say, why Allah? Why at this time? They question, they yell, they scream, they wail. Is their wailing, is their crying, are their objections going to bring that person back to life? No. So one is that a person does not accept the decree of Allah, and he is impatient, and it does not take him anywhere at all. And sometimes in doing this, a person leaves obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. For example, the example that the sister gave, with some people, when they're not successful in their dunya, they think that they have to leave their deen. For example, that I have to leave my hijab, or maybe I should go to mixed gatherings, etc., etc., to make more connections so that I can get up there and then I can get a good job. This is against sabr as well. Because sabr is to continue on ita'ah, to continue on obedience. So this is one way of reacting, that a person is impatient. And the other is that a person is patient and he accepts a situation. He accepts a situation and he is patient. We have been sent in this dunya for a test. And there are going to be many tests. Tests cannot be avoided. If a person is impatient, he's only going to harm himself. And if a person is patient, he is going to benefit himself. First of all, he's going to get peace of mind. He's going to be relaxed. And then he's going to think of, okay, now what can I do? So he becomes a positive person. And remember that when a person does sabr, then he has the help of Allah. He has the assistance of Allah. And without sabr, he doesn't have that help. And when a person is patient, then he also gets reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, ayah number 10, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, the patient will be given their reward without account. The patient will be given reward without any measure. Immeasurable reward. Unlimited reward. For who? For those who are patient. So, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Now we see that we should seek help through two things. Sabr and salah. We should also perform salah. We learn about the Prophet ﷺ that any time any difficulty came his way, what would he do? He would hasten to perform salah. And sometimes all we have to do is just go do wudu, perform two rak'ah salah, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all we need to do. And many times we don't do that. Many times we don't do that. We will go tell other people about our problems. We'll call our friend. Something happens, we call our friend. We call our mother. We make other people worried and concerned. And the best thing that we could do is go and pray to Allah. Go and pray to Nafil Salah. Because that will bring you peace and that will also bring a solution to you. Other people, they will just hear your problem. They will say, oh, I feel so bad for you. I feel so sorry for you. Really, what can they do? What can they do? What's in the hands of people? Nothing. Many times when we share our problems with people, it only makes us feel more bad. Because people want to hear the whole story. Again and again and again. And when you repeat that entire story, it makes you more and more sad. Nothing happens without the decision of Allah, without the permission of Allah. If Allah puts you in a problem, then He will also guide you as to how to come out of it. Then Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا, and do not say, لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ, about those who are killed in the way of Allah, that they are dead. Those people who are killed in the way of Allah, don't say about them that they are dead. So what do we learn from this? That at the time of difficulty, don't say negative things either. A person has died, but don't even say something that is negative. Because negativity, what does it do? Takes you away from sabr. لا تقولوا. تقولوا is from قول. قاف ولا. Again, this command is to يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. لِمَن? For the one who, meaning concerning the one who, in the matter of the person who, يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He is killed in the way of Allah. يُقْتَلُ is from قَتْل. قَافْ تَ لَام. And قَتْل is to kill someone, to murder someone, to put someone to death. So one who is killed, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the way of Allah. What does it mean by this? A person who is killed in the way of Allah. Meaning a person who is killed while he is striving to exalt the name of Allah. Because sabilillah, way of Allah. What is way of Allah? The way that is approved by Allah, or the way that leads you to the pleasure of Allah. And what is that? The deen of Allah. So a person who is killed in the way of Allah, meaning while he was striving to exalt the name of Allah, to exalt the word of Allah, and if he is killed, who is this person? Who do we call him? A shaheed. Someone who is a martyr. And remember that this is not necessarily in a battlefield only. Sometimes it is in the battlefield, and other times a person is killed simply because he is not just a believer, but what is he doing? He is spreading the deen. He is working for the deen. We learned about the Bani Israel. What did they do? فَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. The Bani Israel, they killed a group of the messengers and they denied a group of the messengers. So the messengers were killed. Why? Because they were spreading the deen of Allah. They were reviving the deen of Allah. So anyone who dies in the way of Allah, don't say that they are amwat, they are dead. Amwat is the plural of mayyit. And mayyit is from the root letters mim, wal, ta, mot. Mot is death. Mayyit is one who suffers from death, meaning one who is dead. And over here, in this ayah, we see that the greatest difficulty that a person could suffer from is the death of a loved one, isn't it? The death of someone whom they love. The death of someone who is close. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how we must do sabr. This is a practical example of doing sabr. That when there is a tragedy or a disaster, then a person should not be negative. In words, by complaining, or otherwise. So he tells us that anyone who dies in the way of Allah, do not say that they are dead. What does it mean by this? Do not say that they are dead. Because they are dead, if you think of it. A person who dies in the way of Allah, he is dead, for example, a shaheed, which is why he is buried. I mean, the ruh is not with the body anymore, which is why the shaheed is buried. So what does it mean by this, that they are not dead? What it means is that they shouldn't be called dead, because their death is different. Life is about experiencing different things. And death is the termination, is the ending of that experience. When a person is alive, he hears, he sees, he tastes, he feels. But when a person is dead, you can say a lot of things in front of him. He's not going to hear or respond. He's not going to say anything out. So death is termination of experience. But a person who dies in the way of Allah, he is alive. How is he alive? How is he alive? That he is still experiencing that which is good. He still experiences joy. So Allah says, don't say that they are dead, because their death is not absolute death. Their death is different. Bal ahya, rather they are alive. Ahya is the plural of hay. And Hay is from the root letters Ha, Ya, Ya. Hay means one who is alive. So rather they are alive. Where are they alive? In the barzakh. They are alive in the barzakh. Inda Rabbihim. Remember that when a person is alive, when a person dies, there is a state of barzakh, which is the place or the state that a person is in until the Day of Judgment. And inshallah you'll read the details of barzakh at other places in the Quran and also elsewhere in Aqidah. The details will come. But for now this is sufficient that barzakh is the state that a person is in until the Day of Judgment, depending on how he has lived in the dunya. If a person has lived a good life, a life of obedience, then he is in the barzakh and he is enjoying. He is happy. He is given reward, even in the barzakh. And as for the person who has lived a life of disobedience, what about him? He is given punishment in the grave, up until the Day of Judgment. Up until the Day of Judgment, a person is given punishment. And we learn this from several ahadith, from several verses in the Quran. As for those who are martyrs, when they leave this dunya, they are alive. In what sense? That they are alive in the barzakh and they are enjoying many things. For example, a person who is alive, he eats and he drinks. يَأْكُلُ وَيَشْرَبُ. And similarly, when these people are in the barzakh, they are also given rizq. For example, we learn from Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 169 and 170, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And never think of those who have been killed in the cause of Allah as dead. Rather, they are alive with their Lord, receiving provision. Receiving provision, they are given rizq. Rejoicing in what Allah has bestowed upon them of His bounty. So they are alive in the barzakh and they are enjoying the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them. There is a hadith that is mentioned in Sahih Muslim in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that their souls, meaning the souls of those who die in the way of Allah, the martyrs, are in the insides of green birds, having lanterns suspended from the throne, roaming freely in paradise where they please. So they roam around freely in paradise, then taking shelter in those lanterns. Their Lord cast a glance at them and said, "Do you wish for anything?" Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, "Do you wish for anything?" They will say, "What shall we wish for when we roam freely in paradise where we please?" Meaning we have all the freedom in Jannah. What more could we ask for? And He did that with them three times. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask them three times, "What do you want? Do you want anything? Do you wish for anything?" When they see that they would not be spared from being asked again, they would say, or they said, "O Lord, we would like for You to put our souls back into our bodies, so that we might fight for Your sake once again." That is what they desire. Why? Because the reward for dying in the way of Allah is so great. The reward for dying in the way of Allah is so great that imagine they're in Jannah. And when they're asked again and again, "Do you wish for anything? Do you wish for anything?" And when they figure out that there's no way, there's no getting out of this, we have to wish for something. What is it that they wish for? To be returned to dunya so that they can die again in the way of Allah. Because the reward is immense. The greatest difficulty that a person could face in life is death. And if a person dies in the way of Allah with sabr, then there is immense reward for that. So we see that the shuhada, they are alive in the barzakh. They experience reward in the barzakh. And because this matter, this issue is of the unseen, we cannot say that they are alive just like we are in the dunya, or they are dead like, you know, people who, like normal people who die. We cannot say much about it. We have been given little information, little understanding about this, and we believe in it as it is. But the point is that don't say that they're finished. Don't say that they're expired. Don't say that their lives have terminated. No, they haven't been put to an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives them rizq so that they can enjoy. And what kind of death is it that they suffer? Allah says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You do not know. You do not have any awareness as to what kind of death exactly they have suffered and how exactly they are alive. The word تَشْعُرُونَ is from شُعُور, شِين عَيْنْ رَى. And شُعُور is to know, to realize something through one's senses. What does it mean? To realize something or to get to know about something, to perceive something through one's senses. And the word شُعُور is also from, there is another word from the same root letters which is شَعْر. And شَعْر is used for hair. And if you see, hair are very fine, very thin. So شُعُور is to know about the fine details of something. So وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You, O people, who are in this dunya, you cannot know about the fine details of their state of existence, of their condition, of how exactly their death is or how exactly their life is. Because this issue has to do with the unseen. So no matter how much we try to figure out what kind of life they live, we cannot know. But what is enough for us to know is that they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. So what do we learn from this ayah? That first of all, it is forbidden to say about those people who have died in the way of Allah that they are dead. لا تقولوا. It's a nahi, meaning do not say that they are dead. What else do we learn? There is punishment of the grave for those who disobey, and there is reward for those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn from this ayah about the status and reward for who? For the shaheed. And something like a very fine lesson that we learn from this is that the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person is much better and much greater than the deed that a person performs. Because if you think about it, a shaheed, what does he offer? His life. What does Allah give him? Life. A shaheed offers his life. Allah gives him life. Bal ahya. So there is no good deed that is wasted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the good deeds. Also we learned that a person who dies in the way of Allah is a shaheed. Now the question is, who exactly is a shaheed? Who exactly is a martyr? There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qatala li takuna kalimatullahi hiya al-ulya fa huwa fi sabilillah." Whoever fights so that the word of Allah is exalted is fighting in the way of Allah. And if he dies, then he is a shaheed. So we learn that a shaheed is someone who is killed while he is striving to exalt, to elevate the name of Allah. And he does that exclusively for the sake of Allah, not to get the praise of people, not to get some award or some medal, because what use is that praise or reward or medal when he has died? When he does it sincerely for the sake of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awards him. I will mention to you some other ahadith which tell us about who else is a shaheed. For example, there is a hadith that is mentioned in Al-Bukhari in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that one who dies in a plague. What is a plague? A disease that spreads very quickly and people die because of that. Literally, cities are wiped off because of that. So one who dies in a plague, or one who dies of an intestinal ailment, meaning an ailment in his stomach. One who dies of drowning, meaning a person who dies, why? Because he drowned. One who dies under a collapsed building. And one who dies as a martyr in jihad. All of them are who? They are shuhada. Because if you look at it, all of these deaths, they are very painful deaths, aren't they? And they require sabr from a person. It doesn't mean obviously that if a person is a disbeliever and he dies by drowning, he's a shaheed. No, all the other conditions are understood. So as long as a person is patient throughout these difficulties that he faces, and then eventually when he dies, then he's considered a shaheed. Another hadith that is reported by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, in which it has been stated that the Prophet ﷺ said that there are 7 martyrs. And having said these 5 that are mentioned in the previous hadith, that he mentioned another person, one who dies in a fire, meaning a person who is burnt, and a woman who dies during childbirth. Because all of these deaths that are mentioned, they're very painful, very difficult, and a person has to suffer, 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 and then eventually he dies. Sometimes a person dies because of these things, because of the oppression of others. For example, a person is burnt while he's alive. There are stories of people who are burnt when they're alive, simply because they were believers. Similarly, a building collapses over them. So this is what? Sabr. And because of that sabr, they are shaheed. So we see that there are different levels of martyrdom. There are different levels of shahada, of dying in the way of Allah. But the condition is that a person obviously is a believer and he does sabr, and then when he dies he is content with the decree of Allah, with the decision of Allah. But we learn over here that in particular the shaheed is who? The one who dies in the way of Allah. There are other ahadith as well in which we learn that if a person is protecting his wealth, his family, and he is killed because of that while he is protecting, even then he's a martyr. For example, he's killed because of injustice. So Allahu A'lam, Allah knows about who really is a martyr and who is not a martyr. There are people who apparently die in the way of Allah, but Allah knows if they're really shuhada. There was a man who was killed in one of the battles and the people said, oh, he's a martyr. And the Prophet ﷺ said, how do you know? He objected to them saying that because that person had stolen something from the Baytul Mal. He had stolen a sheet, one sheet from the Baytul Mal, which deprived him from being a martyr. We as human beings don't have the right to call anybody a shaheed, for example, if a person dies in one of these 7 ways that we learn from the hadith. But we should have good hope. We should be positive. We should pray for them, that oh Allah, make them a shaheed, make their death a shaheed. Let's listen to the recitation.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون.
See, Allah knows who is a shaheed and who is not a shaheed. There could be a person who is fighting in the way of Allah. The example that I gave you of that person who died in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah knows about the niyyah of the person. So we don't have the right to call somebody a shaheed. But over here, the purpose of the ayah is to tell us that a person who dies in the way of Allah, he is given a lot of reward. And we should strive that we live in obedience to Allah. And when we die as well, we're happy with the decree of Allah. We're content with the decree of Allah. Because when a person does sabr throughout his life, then he's able to have sabr at the end of his life as well. Because a shaheed is someone who is really doing sabr. He is giving up his life for Allah, to please Allah. So when a person does sabr throughout his life and at the end of his life, then the reward is immense. Then Allah tells us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient. Give good news to those who are patient. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Notice the well, the lamb, and the noon mushaddad. What does that show? A lot of emphasis. And remember that whenever a word comes like this, there are 3 emphases over there. First of all, wa, there is an implied qasam. So what it means is, wallahi lanabluwannakum. Then there is lam, which means surely. And there is noon mushaddad, which gives the meaning of definitely. And لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ is from the root letters ba, lam, waw. Bala yablu. Bala yablu, as we have read earlier, is used for a test. Bala is used for a test that is very difficult. That is very intense. It's not easy. It's very difficult to go through it. And this is a test that comes through difficulty, and it also comes through khair, through something that is good. For example, bala is used for a test that could be through someone's death, and it could be through someone's birth. It is a bala. It could be. And how is it intense? How is it difficult? Because when a person dies, when a relative, a loved one dies, a person has to be patient. When somebody is born, when a child is born, a person has to be grateful. So in every situation, a person is being tested, a person is being tried to see if a person is grateful or if a person is impatient. Is he hopeful or is he negative? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. And this is the promise of Allah. We will surely test you. We will definitely test you. Test is a part of life. We learn in Surah Al-Mulk, Ayah 2, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He created death and life to test you as to which of you is best indeed. So in our lives, we are being tested. We are definitely going to be tested. To see what? To see who is worthy of going to Jannah and who is not. Now the question is, how are we going to be tested in life? How? Through five things that are mentioned over here. Through Masa'ibul Khamsa. Five trials. Five difficulties. What are they? بِشَيْءٍ with something, مِنَ الْخَوْفِ of the fear. شَيْءٍ over here indicates something, and مِن gives the meaning of detail. It is of detail, it is of bayan, it is explaining. So something. What is that something that we're going to test you with? It is خَوْف, it is جُور, so on and so forth. And notice the word شَيْءٍ. It ends with تنوين. There's two kasra under it. And whenever a word ends with تنوين, it is called نكرة. And a noun is نكرة for several reasons. One of them is to indicate the less quantity of something. So شَيْءٍ gives the meaning of تقليل, meaning through something that is very small, through very little khawf, very little hunger, very little of these five things. And others say that this nakira over here is indicating takthir, meaning it is indicating kathra, abundance. A lot of khawf, a lot of jur, a lot of naqs. So shay'in, this nakira, is indicating either takhleel or takthir, little or more. So we're going to test you with a little or a lot of what? First of all, al-khawf, fear. The word khawf is from kha, wa, fa, and khawf is used for fear, worry, and khawf is fear of some harm that one thinks might strike him in the future. It is fear of some danger, of some harm that a person fears he is going to suffer in the future. So something of fear. What does it mean by this? This fear could be fear of something that is very insignificant, or it could be fear of something that is very major. For example, a person fears darkness, a person fears insects, a person fears lizards, another person fears the jinn. Some people, they fear about their future, about their business, about their work, about their education, about their career, about their family, about their children. So fear is a part of life. So some fears are because of external reasons, and some fears are within ourselves. Some fears are just within ourselves. What we can say, just paranoia or anxiety or apprehension that a person suffers from. So we're definitely going to test you with fear, meaning you are going to suffer from fear in life. In the general sense, in the specific sense. At a societal level, at a public level, and also at an individual level. For example, sometimes nations, groups of people, they fear, what do they fear? A natural disaster, their enemy. Similarly, they fear about the loss of business, decline in money, in resources. So these are fears, threats that people fear from. And these are what? They are tests. They are all tests. Think about all those different things that you fear. Sometimes people make fun of people when they fear certain things, isn't it? For example, if a person is afraid of losing something, or a person is afraid of driving, or a person is afraid of different things, what do people do? They mock at them, they make fun of them. And they don't realize that this is a test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that person into. Why should you laugh at them? Why should you make fun of them? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. What else? What's the second thing that we're going to be tested with? Well, jur and the hunger. Jur is from the root letters jim, waw, ayn. What is jur? What is hunger? Hunger is a feeling of discomfort or weakness that a person has because of lack of food. What is it? A feeling of discomfort or weakness that a person has because of lack of food, because his stomach is empty. But hunger is not just the state of discomfort or weakness. It is with the urge to eat something. It is along with the urge to eat something. It is not just a person is feeling very weak, a person is very uncomfortable, he's suffering from a stomachache because he hasn't eaten anything, but he doesn't want to eat. No, that is not jur. Jur is both. There is discomfort and there is also the urge to eat. Some people have an empty stomach, but they don't want to eat anything. Or they shouldn't eat anything. For example, when they're fasting. Fasting gives you sabr. And there are some people who are very impatient. Even if their stomach is full, they want to eat something else. They want to eat all the time. Even if it's just chewing gum, where it's not appropriate. For example, in the classroom. So, al-jur. We are going to be tested through jur, through hunger. How? How are people tested through hunger? How are we tested through hunger? For example, there is no food available. You're hungry. You're at home. You open the fridge. There's no food. You open the pantry. There's no rice. There's nothing that you can cook either. You open the freezer. There's nothing that you can cook. So first of all, it is the unavailability of food. Food is not available. Similarly, like how in Pakistan, because of the floods, they're saying, don't send money now, send food. Because what are they going to do with the money if they don't have food? Lands have been covered with water. I mean, everything is covered with water. Things have been destroyed. Where are they going to get food from? Even if they have money, a lot of money, there is no food. There is no food to purchase. So sometimes it is due to unavailability of food. Sometimes it is because of not having money to purchase food. And these are things that we experience as well sometimes. For example, you go somewhere and you're very hungry, there is food at home, but you forgot your wallet or you don't have money at that time and you're hungry. You want to eat. So sometimes it is because of the unavailability of money with which you can buy food. Or sometimes there is food, there is money, but the person is not able to eat. There is food, there is money, but a person is not able to eat. Why? Because of some disease. For example, a person is intolerant to a certain type of food. If a person has a milk allergy, if a person has a dairy allergy, gluten allergy or something like that, and there is bread, there is milk, there is cheese. Can he eat that? No, he cannot. Similarly, you're allowed to eat, you have no allergies, but all the food that is available is haram. Can you eat that? No. What is this then? This is a test. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ We will definitely test you. This is a test as well. Not having the money to buy food. Not being able to eat the food that you have. This is a test. Similarly, when a person is fasting, that is also a test. But he's hungry. He wants to eat. There is food, but he's not allowed to eat because he's fasting. What is this? It's a test. Because he wants to eat, but he cannot eat. This is a test. What else are we going to be tested through? وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ And loss of wealth. نَقْص نَقْص is from the root letters نُون قَاف صَاد And I told you before that ظُلْم literally means نَقْص. So this is that word نَقْص. نَقْص means loss or decrease or shortage of something. To diminish something. To run low. So نَقْصٍ loss. Loss of what? مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ Amwal is a plural of the word mal. And mal is from mim waw lam. Mal is everything that a person owns. Whether it is money, cash, or it is some mata, it is some things, it is some assets, for example, your house, your furniture, your clothes, whatever. And it also includes the animals that a person owns. Obviously before or even today, there are people who own animals. Okay? And what do animals do? They're either a source of transport for you or they're like a business for you because through them, you make money. So, نَقْصَ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ You will suffer. This is a test. What is a test? That you will suffer from a loss of wealth. For example, in a person's business, there are no sales. Or, he doesn't gain much profit. Or, there is a natural disaster and everything that he owns is completely finished. It is completely destroyed. Similarly, a person's house catches fire or it is drowned underwater or there is no profit. There are so many bills to pay. The money that a person earns is not enough to cover all the bills, to cover all the expenses. A person doesn't have any savings. He's not able to save. Or all of a sudden there's an unexpected expense that he has to cover, that he has to pay for. He never expected that. And all of a sudden, for example, a close relative becomes very ill, or a person himself becomes very ill, and he has to pay for all that treatment, which is not covered. So an unexpected expense, which runs his bank balance to zero. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ Loss of wealth, shortage of wealth. When money is less. This is what? This is also a test. And the loss of what else? Wal anfus, and the lives. Al anfus is a plural of nafs. And what is a nafs? A person, a soul. So what does it mean by this? A loss of lives? Death. Death of who? Of people who are around you. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be people who are working. And it's not just caused by death. Sometimes it is disease. Sometimes it is simply that people leave. And the manpower that you had before, the number of people that you had before, it's all gone. There's shortage of people to do some work. And unfortunately, we suffer from this a lot when it comes to the matters of deen. People have their own things that they want to pursue, their own aims, their own goals, and they think that the deen, somebody else is going to do the job. Somebody else is going to work for the deen. So when there is shortage of people, whether it is through death or people leave because of their own selfish reasons, this is also a test. For who? For those who are still there. Sometimes, a relative is killed unjustly. Sometimes a friend dies unexpectedly. Sometimes a child dies. Sometimes there is a natural disaster killing many, many people. Other times there are viruses that kill lots of people in just a few days. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ. And a shortage of what else? And a shortage of والثمرات, and the fruits. الثمرات is a plural of the word ثمرة. ثمرة is from ثَ مِيم رَ. And ثمرة, as you know, is used for fruit. But in the literal sense, the word ثمرة is not just fruit. It applies to the product of a process. It is produce. So نَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. What does it mean by that? A loss, a shortage of fruit, a shortage of produce. That, for example, there is just not enough produce one particular year. The stock is just less. Or there is a lot of produce, but it gets spoiled. For example, you buy all that fruit and you bring it home, and within a day or two, it's gone. It's finished. Sometimes the land is destroyed and it is not possible to grow any crop over there, to plant any trees over there. Or the crop or the plants that are on that land, they're finished. They die because the land has been destroyed. Sometimes the entire crop is damaged. Why? Because of the weather, because of fire, because of frost, because of chill, different things. I remember I visited a farm once, and it was a very beautiful farm, and they had a lot of mango trees. And they were telling us that a few years ago, that whole orchard was full of orange trees. And one season, what happened was that because of the intense cold, all of the trees, they died. Literally, they died. And that was the time when they were going to pick all the fruits, all of the oranges. That was the time when they were going to get all of the profit. But because of all of those trees dying, they lost everything. So, وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And remember that the word ثَمَرَات, some also use it for children. Because children are also what? You know, you give birth to them, they're like fruit. So, a person is tested through the loss of his children as well. Naqs. And naqs is not just loss, it is shortage. There are no children. Or children leave. So all of these are tests and trials that a person will suffer in his life. He will suffer from all of these tests and trials in life, whether a lot or a little. So tests are going to come. What are we supposed to do? Seek help of Allah through sabr and salah. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give good news to those who are patient. Good news of what? Good news of reward. وَبَشِّرْ. بَشِّرْ is from بَشِينْرَ, بَشَارَ. And what does بَشَارَ mean? Good news. And remember, it is such good news that you can see it visible on the person. You can see the excitement, you can see the happiness, you can see the joy on the person. وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ. And صابرين is a plural of صابر. So give good news to those who are patient of reward. Why? Because when they are patient, at the time of any of these disasters that strike them, what happens? They obtain the reward of Allah. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them His reward. And notice Allah says, وَبَشِّرْ, give good news to those who are patient. What do we learn from this? That when a person is sad, when a person is suffering from something, what should we do? Cheer them up somehow. Don't say, okay, so what happened? Okay, tell me the whole story. Okay, tell me what happened. And this also happened. Really? I feel so bad. No, not like this. Bashir. Give good news. Of what? Of reward. So say something that will cheer them up. So now the question is, وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ. Who are these صابرين? When are they patient? They are patient at the time of the striking of any of these disasters. And how are they patient? How are they patient? Is the big question. What does it mean to do sabr? Right? Because we know that we should do sabr, but how? How? That a person, first of all, accepts the fact that this is the decision of Allah. This is the decree of Allah. And when a person is content, when he accepts, then Allah's help comes. And when a person becomes upset and angry, then what happens? Then he deserves the anger of Allah as well. There's a hadith mentioned in At-Tirmidhi that the greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. Greatest reward comes with the greatest trial. When Allah loves a people, He tests them. Whoever accepts that wins His pleasure. Whoever accepts that trial wins the pleasure of Allah. But whoever is discontent with that earns his wrath, earns his anger, earns the anger of Allah. Who? A person who does not accept the decision of Allah. Another very important lesson that we learn from this particular hadith that I mentioned to you is that, where the hadith is that when Allah loves a people, He tests them. So these calamities that come in our lives, they do not just come upon a person who is sinful. Remember that. They do not just come upon a person who is sinful, but they also come upon those people who are righteous, even the messengers. The more closer a person is to Allah, the more he is tested. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was tested. He was tested a lot. So who are these patient ones? How do they do sabr? What kind of sabr do they do? Allah says, الَّذِينَ, those people who, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَ, when a disaster strikes them, what do they do? قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They say, indeed we belong to Allah, and indeed to Him we will return. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَ. The words أَصَابَتْهُمْ and مُصِيبَ, they're from the root letters صَاد وَوْبَ. صَاد وَوْبَ. صَوْب literally means to hit the mark. What does it mean? To hit the mark. For example, it is said أَصَابَ السَّهْم. The arrow, the sahm, what did it do? It hit the target. For example, you hit the bull's eye is the target. So, asaba sahm, the arrow, hit the target. So, sawb is to hit the mark. And the word sawb is also used for one who is right. For example, sa'ib is used for a person who has the correct view, or who has the correct opinion, or who has a good solution concerning something. Why? Because he has hit the mark. He has hit that which is right. From the same root, the word sawab, not sawab, sawab is reward, but sawab with the sad, is used for the correct meaning of something. You may have heard people say, or you may have read in some places, Wallahu a'lamu bis-sawab. What does it mean by that? That Allah is more knowing of that which is correct. Allah knows about that which is best. Allah knows best. Wallahu a'lamu bis-sawab. From the same root, we read the word sayyib earlier. What is sayyib? Sayyib, aw ka sayyibin, rain, exactly. Why is rain called sayyib? Because it falls on the place that it is meant to fall at. It comes to a place where it is meant to come at. So asabathum, when it comes to them, when it strikes them, when it reaches them. Why? Because it is meant to reach them. It is not an accident. Remember, trials and difficulties are not an accident. They are the decree of Allah. Asabathum, they were supposed to hit you. They were never meant to miss you. And that which has missed you was never meant to hit you. Like we learn from the hadith, that remember Allah in times of ease and He will remember you in times of distress. What hit you could never have missed you. What missed you could not have hit you. So, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَ. What is مُصِيبَ? Notice the word مُصِيبَ begins with meme. So مُصِيبَ is one that reaches. Literally, مُصِيبَ is one that reaches. One that hits. And then from this, مُصِيبَ is used for a calamity, a disaster. What do we learn from this? That a musibah that strikes a person is not by chance, but that person was the target. It was meant to reach him. It wasn't meant to avoid him. So when a disaster strikes them, what is their reaction? What is the reaction of those who are patient? قالوا, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Inna, indeed we. Inna is a combination of inna and na. Inna means indeed, na means we. So inna, indeed we. Lillahi, for Allah. Meaning we are the possession of Allah. We are His servants. Allah owns us. He is our Malik. And since He is our Malik, we are only His possession. He can do whatever He wants to with us. We belong to Allah. I'm the possession of Allah. Allah is my Malik. And just as any Malik can do whatever he wants, similarly, Allah can send my way whatever He wants. Inna lillah. We belong to Allah. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And indeed, to Him we will return. Raji'un is a plural of raji'. And raji' is from rujur. Rujur is to return. Raji' is one who returns. So indeed, to Him we will return. Meaning in the hereafter, we will return to Him, where He will recompense us for what we have suffered now or for what we have done now. So indeed we belong to Allah, and indeed to Him we will return. So whatever that Allah has given us, whatever He takes away from us, it is His. It belongs to Him. It wasn't ours in the first place. It belongs to Him. So if He gives us something, or if He takes something from us, it is His. It's His decision. He is the master. He can do whatever He wants. So why should we be angry? وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And to Him we will return. Meaning, we will return to Him in the hereafter with all our matters, with all of our affairs. And we hope that the one who sent this musibah to us will also reward us for our patience, will also reward us for our acceptance. So we learn that the first thing that the patient ones do is that they accept the musibah that strikes them. They accept the fact that it came by the permission of Allah. And if they are patient, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, we are going to return to Him. If we are patient, there is reward. أُولَٰئِكَ, those, meaning they are the ones who, عَلَيْهِمْ, upon them, صَلَوَاتُ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, are blessings or praise from their Lord. The word salawat is a plural of salah. And what does salah mean? Prayer. But remember that the word salat has different meanings depending on who it is being used for and who it is being done for. Who is doing the salah and who is the salah being done for. When salah is done by an abd, by a servant, for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then salat means prayer. What does it mean? Prayer. When salat is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or by His angels, or by the people, for another creation, for a creation, then it means one of two things. Either it means praise, thana, or it means blessings. Either it means thana, praise, or it means blessings. For example, in Surah Al-Ahzab we learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي. Allah and His angels, what do they do? يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي. They send their salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, at the beginning of many khutbas, you may have heard, الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You may wonder, oh my God, salat for Rasulullah? That's wrong. Isn't salat for Allah? It's a different type of salat. When it is for Allah, it means prayer. When it is for people, by Allah or by the angels or by others, then it means either praise or it means blessings. Over here, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. صَلَوَاتٌ from who? مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, from their Lord. So what does it mean by salawat over here? Blessings or praise. That Allah sends His blessings upon them and He praises them. Where does He praise them? In the company of the angels. Allah praises them. Allah mentions them. He talks about them in the company of the angels. Sometimes if you're suffering from something and somebody remembers you, how do you feel? Just the fact that they remembered you, just the fact that they thought of you, it just makes you happy. Like for example, your friend tells you, that particular teacher of yours, she was asking about you. Or that particular relative of yours, she was asking about you. How do you feel? You feel special. Who is the one remembering them? Allah. He is praising them. And He sends blessings upon them. So, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. And upon them is also wa rahmah and mercy. The mercy of Allah covers them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And it is they who are the rightly guided ones. Al-Muhtadun is a plural of Muhtadi. Al-Muhtadi is from Hadalya. As you know, Ihtada, Ihtida is to receive guidance, to be on the right guidance. So Muhtadun, ones who are guided, ones who are upon guidance. Meaning their course of action, their way, their reaction is that which is right, is that which is correct. The way they have reacted to the problem is the way that is right. And also what Muhtadun indicates is that when a person suffers from difficulties and he is patient, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, then what happens? Allah's help comes to him. Allah guides him as to what to do. And if a person is impatient and he tries to take his anger and frustration out on others who have nothing to do with the problem, then what happens? Is he going to get guidance from Allah? No. And remember, guidance is irshad and tawfiq. Tawfiq as to what to do, irshad as to what to do. Sometimes you're in certain situations and they're completely out of your hand. You're suffering from those problems because of another person. Because of a spouse or a relative or something like that. And we take our frustration out on who? On who? On our children. The husband is creating problems for the wife, and the wife's frustration is coming out on who? On the mother-in-law. On the sister-in-law. On the brother-in-law. And who is the one creating the problem? The husband. So when a person does not do sabr on the problems, then what happens? He loses guidance. He is not rightly guided. He doesn't know what to do. He is left on his own. And when a person is patient, Allah sends blessings. Allah praises that person. Rahmah comes. Ease comes. Hidayah comes. What are the next steps? What should I do? And it all begins with acceptance. It all begins with acceptance. Just accept that your husband is like that. Or just accept that your mother said this to you. Or just accept that your parents forced you to do something. I mean, what use is there in taking out the frustration on yourself or on other people? There is absolutely no benefit. And the person is not going to get out of the problem anyway. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. So over here we see that there is great reward for those who are patient. What is that great reward? That Allah gives them reward in this life, Allah praises them near the angels, Allah's mercy is upon them, and Allah also guides them. So we see that when a person is suffering from a problem, at the time of difficulty, a person can react in one of two ways. One is that a person accepts and he is patient. The other is that a person does not accept and he is not patient. And when he is not patient and when he gets upset and angry with other people, with the decision of Allah, he's angry with Allah. Literally, some people become upset with Allah. I'm not going to pray Salah again because my mother died when I was very young. Or I will not pray Salah again because of such and such. Is it going to help you? It's not going to help you. A person who does not accept the problem, then for him, is also anger. As I told you about that hadith, من رضي فله الرضا. A person who accepts, then for him is pleasure. And ومن سخط فله السخط. And a person who gets upset, then for him is the anger of Allah. And we also learn from a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, ليس منا من ضرب الخدود وشق الجيوب ودعا بدعوى الجاهلية. He who slaps his cheeks, meaning in anger, in sadness, in frustration, tears his clothes, and follows the ways and traditions of the days of ignorance, is not one of us. He has nothing to do with us. Sometimes, in a difficult situation, people start yelling and screaming and cursing. You've seen that? People start cursing at others. And when a person does that, what did the Prophet say? He is not one of us. He has nothing to do with us. That is not a believer. And as for sabr, if a person does sabr, then that is something that is beneficial. The scholars have said that when a person suffers from some difficulty, then he is on one of four levels. He reacts in one of four ways. The first is that a person does sabr, that a person is patient. And that is wajib, that is mandatory. It is necessary for a person to do sabr. And what does sabr include? That a person is controlling his emotions. He stops himself from getting upset. He cries, but he controls his tongue. For example, when the Prophet ﷺ's son Ibrahim, when he died, and the Prophet ﷺ was crying, and the people were like, even you cry? What was his response? That the eyes send their tears, and the heart is sad, but we do not say anything except that which pleases our Lord. Indeed, O Ibrahim, we are bereaved, we are saddened by your departure from us. Just imagine a parent who loses a very small child. He is going to cry. He is going to be sad. What was the reaction of the Prophet ﷺ? The eyes weep, the heart is sad, but nothing that displeases my Lord is going to come out of my tongue. So one is that a person does sabr. The second level is that a person has rida, that a person is pleased with the decree of Allah. He is content with the decision of Allah. And this is different from patience. This is different from sabr. Because sabr is just about controlling oneself. Rida is about accepting what comes a person's way. Because sometimes we are controlling ourselves, we're not saying anything, but we're not able to accept. Isn't it? We're not able to accept. We cannot accept the fact that somebody has died. We cannot accept that we are suffering from such a problem. Rida is a level that is better than sabr. Why? Why should a person have rida? Because raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. Inna lillah. We belong to Allah. If I belong to Allah, it is His decision. He can decide whatever He wants. And if He has decided something for me, there must be some khair in it. And when a person has rida, when a person is content, then he becomes positive. And he looks for the good things or the wisdom behind his suffering from a particular problem. And when he is impatient, when he doesn't accept, then what happens? He sees all the doors that are closed for him. When you accept, then you say, oh, maybe this was the wisdom. Maybe this was the wisdom. Maybe this was the wisdom. And there is always wisdom. The third level is that of shukr. It is of gratitude. That a person is grateful for the musibah. Grateful for the musibah? How is that possible? I mean, a person is suffering from a difficulty and he's grateful for that? How is that possible? How should he be grateful for the musibah? Over the musibah? How? Saying, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, thinking that it could have been much worse. That Alhamdulillah, it's only this. It could have been much worse. And when you look at a problem like this, it makes it very easy for you to deal with that problem, to accept that problem, to have sabr over that problem. For example, a person is grateful. Why? Because he thinks that this is a means of purification for me. This is an opportunity for me to get more reward. This is an opportunity. The believer is positive that Allah has chosen me for this particular test. There was a very pious woman who was suffering from a great musibah, and she was very patient. So the people were like, how are you so patient? I mean, you're suffering from such a difficult situation. How are you so patient? So she said, إِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ أَجْرِهَا أَنْسَتْنِي مَرَارَةَ صَبْرِهَا. The reward for this musibah, the reward for this difficulty, has made me forget the difficulty of doing sabr over it. The reward for this musibah has made me forget the difficulty of being patient over that musibah. The thought of reward has overcome. What did we learn? That Allah gives reward to those who are patient without any measure. Without any measure. And when a person focuses on that reward, then everything becomes insignificant. Everything becomes less. There is a hadith that is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يُصَابُ بِمُصِيبَةٍ فَيَقُولُ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ اللَّهُمَّ أَجِرْنِي فِي مُصِيبَتِي وَخْلُفْ عَلَيَّ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا إِلَّا فُعِلَ بِهِ ذَلِكَ. The Messenger of Allah said, there is no Muslim who suffers a calamity and says what Allah has commanded, that إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And then he says, O Allah, reward me for my calamity and compensate me with something that is better than that. So no believer says that except that Allah will compensate him with something better. When a person is certain, when a person makes dua, this is a difficulty that has come my way, there is some wisdom behind it, and I am hopeful for the reward, and O Allah, reward me for my patience and give me something better than it, what does Allah do? He will compensate him with something that is better. So we see that the third level is of shukr. That a person takes that occasion or that incident as an opportunity for more reward. Another level is of sakhat, of anger, of being upset, of reacting negatively, of being rude to others, of showing our frustration to others. And when a person does this, it doesn't get him anywhere. And remember that sakhat is haram. It is forbidden. It is a major sin. It is a major sin. Because a major sin is that which brings the anger of Allah. And from that hadith in Tirmidhi, what did I tell you? That when a person is angry, then for him is anger. When a person is angry with the decision of Allah, then for him is the anger of Allah. So one way of reacting is being very impatient, showing anger, not accepting, becoming upset with Allah. And this is a major sin. A person has to do tawbah from it, actively. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ.
So life is full of problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. It's a promise. You will face difficulties. You will face challenges. Life is not about ease. But if a person reacts in a particular way, that at the time of disaster, what does he say? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Then he will get the help of Allah. He will get the blessings of Allah. He will get the mercy of Allah. And he will get the approval of Allah. In dunya and in akhirah. Saying, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And remember this statement, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. A person verbally says it, and he also says it in his heart. Saying it in his heart means that a person believes strongly that I am owned by Allah. Allah owns me. He is my Malik. He can do whatever He wants to with me. This is His decision for me. If this is His decision, I accept it. And this dunya is not forever. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This problem is not forever. It's going to end very soon. I am going to return to Allah. And if I'm patient right now, if I accept right now, then when I return to Him, there is reward. There is ease. And if I don't, I'm only going to make my dunya miserable and my akhirah miserable. So these verses, they show us how to remove misery from our lives. How to remove depression and sadness from our lives. Accept the problem and seek Allah's help. Istareenu bis-sabri was-salah. Every single person is tested in some way or the other. Every single person is suffering from some way or the other. When we suffer from a problem, we compare ourselves with others. I don't have this, but look, she has that. I don't have this, but they have that. But it's possible that you have something and they don't have it as well. It's possible. So never compare yourself with others. Compare yourself with those who are much worse than you. And when you look at their problems, then your problems look so insignificant. They seem so less. They're nothing. Think about those people who are under the sky without any roof above them, immersed in water. Everything they own is gone. Everything they own is finished. That's a problem. And somebody just said something rude to me, and I feel very sad. Is that really a problem? I have food to eat. I have a place to live. I have people who love me, people who listen to me. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
Assalamu alaikum. Like we're saying, we always look at the other people and we say, oh, they are better than us. It's a story mentioned in the history. It may be weak, but there was a man who met other person and he said, I can make dua for you, and any dua I will make for you, it will be accepted. So he said, really? Okay, make dua for me that I will not be tested at all, that I will live this life without test. And the other man said, no, I was below. That's impossible, because this life is a test. He said, I see some people who are okay in their life. He said, okay, go outside, find a person whom, if you think that person is not being tested, come to me, I will make dua for you. You will become like that person. So he went outside and he looked the first person, said, oh, this looks nice. And then the next person, oh, it's better than the first one. And the end, he saw a rich man. He had this big shop, 4 sons working for him. He just giving orders, many people working for him. And he said, oh, I like to be like that one. So he got to know him. He went to his house, big mansion of everything. And he said, okay, before I go to ask somebody to make a dua for me so that I become like you, just tell me only if you don't have any disease. So if I ask to become like you, then I will have this disease with that blessing. He said, no, listen, I don't have disease. And then the rich man said, I feel like who is tested more than me? And he told him, I'm going through this, through that. And then the end, to make story short, he said, you see those 4 sons you saw in my shop? They are actually not mine. They are my wife. My wife got them by committing a sin. So to cover up for her, I kept them. And then he said, I feel like a poor man who don't have anything to eat, but has his family, is better than me because I have nothing. So, and he realized, really, I'm content with whatever I have.
patience is at the striking of the calamity, meaning right at that time a person is patient, not shouting enough or screaming enough or taking our revenge from people. We say, okay, I'll be patient. That's not patience. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Whatever I had, whether it was a child or some wealth or a house, Allah gave it to me for some time to enjoy. And if He's taken it away from me, it's His decision. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.